Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic. Intern Nick here with you as well on this Friday morning. And as we do every Friday morning, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. Presented by FreedomTireGuys.com. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. TD, what's going on? How we doing?
Hey, good morning. What's going on?
Not much. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, TD, let's start with just your thoughts on the Super Bowl. What did you think of the game, and what did you think of the performance specifically by Aaron Donald and that Rams defensive front as that second half wore on?
Yeah, I mean, the game was kind of interesting, just seeing Odell Beckham Jr. come out and be able to show that he could still play football. That was one of the takeaways I had. Some really rough calls there in the game and one no call. But when you look at Aaron Donald, man, he just dominated. And he showed the importance of interior D linemen. And I know Jeffrey Simmons, you know, was watching that game and just thinking of how much he is looking forward to next year. So that's pretty much what I took away. You know, outstanding game by Cooper Kupp as well.
Speaking of Jeffrey Simmons, we're going to have a 12-round bout, Jeffrey Simmons, Quentin Spain. What are the odds on that one, TD? Who do you like in that one?
Yeah, I think Simmons might take that one, but, you know, Spain's a pretty big guy, man. If he can land one of those haymakers that he'll tie, so it'll be interesting.
Teron Davenport on with us here on Robbie and Rexler. So, TD, we've been talking all show long about a report that Nate Rao put out there yesterday about the idea of maybe the Titans building a new stadium. When you see this, when you hear about this and hear from Titans fans on the current condition of Nissan Stadium, what's kind of your thoughts on all this, and what do you think about the idea of the Titans maybe building a new stadium?
Well, if they did do that, they definitely are going to need to look into making sure that it's domed or even, you know, just like an open airspace. And that way, that would make it more intriguing as far as the league is concerned for a Super Bowl. But usually when you build a new stadium, right, the Super Bowl, hosting the Super Bowl follows. But there's other things, too, Final Four and other things like that. So they could definitely benefit by doing that, putting the roof over top of it. It's just I wonder about the location and how that will work. I know fans have had their complaints about Nissan Stadium, and apparently now, you know, it's come out that there's some structural components that won't be able to accommodate a rebuild or, you know, a refresh of that stadium. So it would be good for the city. It would be really good for the team, obviously. So I would be all for it.
TD, now that we got a little separation from, you know, the end of the season, anything, even the Super Bowl itself, how you saw those teams get there and the way the playoffs unfolded, or just, you know, more thought over time about this decision or that decision. Anything change in your mind in terms of where you think the Titans should go this offseason? I mean, even, you know, Tannehill. I mean, I feel like with Tannehill, you know, there's sort of like over time, I mean, people are going to have to obviously embrace that, you know, he's the quarterback and they still have a chance to be very good with him at quarterback, and they need to do A, B, and C. Like, has time changed at all how you've looked at the picture that is presented right now to John Robinson?
No, not really. I mean, now that they've kind of dug in and made it clear that they're sticking with Tannehill, it's time to look at, okay, what do they need to do in order to win with him? And, I mean, obviously, Mike Vrabel, he said it best when he said they have to be great around him. I think they have to also find a way to not have Tannehill turn the football over. Because, you know, as a game manager, you can't lose the game. Like, they're not asking him to win the game. They just want him to make a couple throws to get him in position to do it, but they're absolutely asking him not to lose it. And that's exactly what you saw there in the divisional playoff game. So it's all about improving through the draft, adding free agents, and, you know, obviously that's going to be difficult because of the salary cap situation that they're in. So there's going to be some renegotiating. There's going to be some guys that are cut. But that has just kind of been the my thought process, you know, for the duration. I didn't really see an opportunity for them to get rid of Tannehill and move on from him this year. So it's still the same.
So, TD, obviously, you know, John Robinson's going to have to make some moves with the roster as is right now with the salary cap being what it is. Who are some guys that you think maybe could be in danger of being cut? And specifically on the offensive line, when it comes to the Saffold, Lewan discussion, what do you think of that? Because we know what a problem the offensive line in the pass-blocking game was at times this year for the Titans.
Yeah, well, I think Roger Saffold is a possible option, you know, for a cut. That would save him, I believe, $10.5 million. So that right there is something that, you know, you could see. He missed some games. He missed time during games. So it's not like he wasn't playing well, but unfortunately, you know, he had a series of health issues. But who knows, maybe he can work through that and play the majority of snaps, but I think he's a guy. I think Jack Rabbit Jenkins is another one that'll save him $6.5 million. So those two right there, I think they go back to Lewan and kind of work something out to get that number lower this year. But I think the two guys I mentioned are definitely options, you know, and likely options that will be released. And with that, that creates obviously a need at left guard. And that's where a guy like Kenyon Green out of Texas A&M, you know, becomes pretty interesting as an option at 26.
You think Tim Kelly's coming in here, TD, and essentially doing what Jim Schwartz did for the defense? Or do you think there's more to it given that he's the passing game coordinator? How do you think that will be arranged?
Well, they said that it's going to be a Jim Schwartz-like role. And I think as far as passing game coordinator, I think he'll have a little more involvement as far as maybe impact as far as some of the plays that will be designed and things like that. That's something that will only help them because there were some times where it seemed like you know, some of the route combinations and things were a little basic. So that could add a little bit to it. And the thing that and you really have to hang your hat on is Deshaun Watson having his best year as a quarterback with Tim Kelly as the play caller, and he credited him for that. So that's something to kind of, you know, be excited about when you're looking at Ryan Tannehill and his offense, and then also the explosive plays. They were able to generate a bunch of those under Tim Kelly. So obviously the Titans, they need that explosive play in their offense. So getting that in there will definitely open things up and help out a lot.
Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And TD, I know on the latest episode of Talking with TD, Vol fans weren't going to pay attention to that one. Valus Jones Jr. on the episode. What were your takeaways with your conversation with Valus Jones Jr.?
Yeah, I really like the personality that he had. He said he had a talk with the Titans down there. And, I mean, that's not something to get, like, all overly excited about because every team down there meets with pretty much every prospect. But he said it went well. He's a guy that, you know, I love the mindset, too. Right? He discussed the mindset that is required to have yards after catch, you know, and be able to do the type of things that he does. So definitely got a good takeaway from that. And we also had Jelani Woods, a 6'7", 259-pound tight end. He was one of the stars at the East-West Shrine Week, and he had a touchdown in the game. And he's very interesting. Tight end out of Virginia. You'll definitely you know, like that convo with him. And if you get to punch up Jelani Woods highlights, definitely check it out, man. He has some really, really good catches and plays that he made.
Yeah, Valus as a returner is very intriguing, I think, for
yeah.
sure. He can go. TD, when you look at the tight end situation, there are a ton of free agent possibilities. I don't know if you consider this a weak tight end draft. There could be a lot of good tight ends in the draft, but there's no star. There's no Pitts. There's no, right? There's no super top of the draft type guy. But given that, I feel like they really need to be a lot better there. Is that the position? Like, would you target that as a free agent possibility more than you would receiver? Or how do you look at that?
Free agent-wise, I think so. I think just because you have pretty much a clean sweep, all three of the guys, you know, Anthony Firkser, Michael Pula, and Jeff Swain, they're all free agents. So you definitely, you know, want to look at adding a veteran from that perspective And, you know, O.J. Howard's an intriguing one. Hayden Hurst is an interesting one. You know, guys who, you know, former first-round picks, a lot of value, and you could probably get them for a bit less. Obviously, the injury thing with O.J. Howard is something to consider. But then, I mean, you could go high-end, Dalton Schultz and David Njoku, those options. I don't think that they invest too much money into that position, so I think that's where the first guys I mentioned are concerned. Then you double down with a tight end or two in this draft. And it may not have the top-end talent, but top to bottom, I mean, there's a good 6 to 8 tight ends that could come in and help. You know, starting with Trey McBride, you have Greg Dulcich out of UCLA. You got Charlie Kolar out of Iowa State. I mean, there's a bunch of guys. You want somebody that blocks really well, Chad Otten out of Washington. Chad Otten out of Washington. So there's a bunch of options. Receiver-wise, I think, you know, at 26, if a guy like Chris Olave is there, then it's jackpot. You know, that'd be awesome for the Titans. But there are some other options slot-wise. You mentioned Velus Jones Jr. You know, he's someone that could play that slot and get him the free yards. You know, so there's different options. I don't think in the free agency wide receiver side of things, I don't think that they need to, you know, sign a free agent receiver unless you take a pretty, you know, risk like Will Fuller. You know what I mean? That could be an option. He probably wouldn't be expensive, but now you're dealing with, you know, a high-end sports car that, hey, listen, they're in the shop a lot, you know, so
yeah.
He's injured a lot, so that's something to consider.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. TD, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Hope you have a good weekend.
Yeah, appreciate it. Appreciate it. Hope you guys have a great one also.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. We'll come back. We'll react to what TD had to say there. We'll get into the Aaron Rodgers saga as well. Could it be coming to a close with his destination maybe right around the corner? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 102.5 The Game is Nashville's official home of NASCAR. Tune in on Sunday, February the 20th at 1:30 for the Daytona 500 at the Daytona International Speedway. Also get set for the race with Chasing Checkers every Sunday at 8 a.m. Chase McCabe, our fearless leader, making it down there yesterday, took in a little action at the track last night. So Chase McCabe has you covered down there at the Daytona 500.
So we got out of Buc-ee's.
You got out of Buc-ee's, eventually.
Hopefully without black licorice.
Hopefully so.
Although you should eat black licorice, just in moderation, as we learned yesterday on the show.
In extreme moderation. Yes. Oh, good stuff.
I mean, I must have come close to death a couple times.
I would say that you closer than certainly you imagined before yesterday, I would say. That's for sure. Lots of people had fun with the black licorice stuff on the text line, too. It's a good day yesterday here on the show.
A fair amount of support for that. And even more people in, you know, last night, too. Some friends of mine who were also black licorice enthusiasts.
Did you even know that they were dangerous whatsoever?
No.
Before yesterday?
No. Did you think I was lying yesterday? I was like, no. What are you talking about?
I didn't think you were lying, but I knew there was like a reason. I had like a gut feeling. I was like, yeah, I don't like that. I feel like it's bad. Like in my head, I just thought bad. And then when you looked it up and we were like, oh, it's banned. And you're like, yeah, I get it from Australia.
So like you think you maybe heard it before or you just had a sense that it was bad? Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know how I missed that, but that scared the crap out of me when I read that story. I was like, I've eaten a lot. Like I've crushed full bags in short periods of time.
Now your body's resilient. You know what?
Yeah.
Lots of training.
It's, yeah, been through some stuff.
Thanks to TD for joining us in the last segment. Oh, that was a good question you asked him the last time around. Like, if you're the Titans, are you more likely, if you're picking a free agent, you know, free agent spot to address, is tight end the most likely scenario? I say, yeah. Like, if you're going to splurge on anything in free agency, yeah, go get a tight end. You can get a receiver in the draft. Go get a tight end.
Yeah, and I agree with TD on a lot of it. Like, Jameson Williams is, just because he's such a burner, a very intriguing prospect. But Chris Olave would be, I think he's going to be a dynamite NFL slot receiver. I mean, he can do everything. So, I agree. Like, if you had someone like that at that spot, it'd be hard to resist. And a veteran tight end, somehow, some way, find the space and go with one of those guys and really hope that you – like, look, O.J. Howard is very intriguing. Anybody who watched O.J. Howard play at Alabama, I was certain that guy was going to be a big-time player in the NFL.
But yeah, like I didn't think he'd be Kyle Pitts, no. But I thought he'd be pretty darn good.
Right. No, not Kyle Pitts, but like a notch below.
Yeah.
It's been very disappointing. Is that the kind of guy who new scenery, hey, here's huge opportunity as compared to where he was in a stacked tight end room? I don't know. It's a little bit of a gamble. But you also, like, what's the cost? Might be pretty favorable.
Yeah, well, I think the same thing for Njoku, right? I mean, he's been a guy that, you know, I think physically – you like a lot of what's there. He's had some injury problems.
Health is a big thing with him.
He's not put it really all together. Health's been a big part of that. But
well, you know, he's been better. Like
he's been better than O.J. Howard. Oh, yeah,
like
for
you
sure.
Can see it with him.
Yeah. No, what does he cost? That's an interesting question too.
But at least there are a lot of guys. But of course, TD, as I knew he would. I mean, he's got some favorites. You can draft at the tight end position, and you can get someone in the middle rounds who can probably come in here and. And help you. And again, I'm not giving up on the idea that Briley Moore, down the road, recovered from his ACL, could be some kind of a factor too. But they need a lot of help.
By the way, the Pro Football Reference nickname segment that they have, David Njoku is Chief. That's his nickname.
Okay.
Still, nothing is coming quite close to the Pharaoh at this point. But Chief, pretty good one for David Njoku.
Well, it'd be great for Kaharski. Hey, Chief. What's up, Chief? How you doing, Chief?
Joe, some Aaron Rodgers news yesterday, and it really had nothing to do with Rodgers himself. The Packers have really gone out of their way the last couple of weeks to try and do, I guess, everything they can possibly do to convince Aaron Rodgers that he should be back with the Packers. There was a report that came out last weekend that they're really to do pretty much whatever it takes contractual-wise to keep him in there, and that includes maybe going like 4 years with a deal too, which has been something that they were hesitant to do the last few years, obviously when they drafted Jordan Love. They now have hired Tom Clements, who was the quarterback coach in Green Bay, I believe from 06 to 16 when he was the quarterback coach. He's since been out of the game. He's 68 years old, but Rodgers has brought him up, I mean, ad nauseum about how much he's – you know, impacted his career and his development. And now Matt LaFleur and the Packers have gone out there and hired Tom Clements to bring him back in to be coach, the quarterback coach for the Packers. And Packers Twitter has now taken this to mean that it's 100% Aaron Rodgers is back. He's not coming out of retirement to coach Jordan Love. He's coming out because he knows Rodgers is coming back. What are your thoughts on this? Is the Green Bay Rodgers reunion done in your mind?
It's like an arms race between Green Bay and Denver to like hire who does he like more?
Who does he like the most?
And who can we pay more? So what if Rodgers like actually no, you guys have to trade me. Do they just like give this guy a quick buyout and just be like actually yeah, we didn't really want you here.
Can you help with special teams?
Yeah. Well, hey man,
they got a pretty good special teams coach now.
I mean that's a pretty good upgrade. Bisaccia? Well, I understand that just about anything would have been an upgrade, but Bisaccia is your special teams coach? Got to be excited about that.
Yeah, man.
I'm thinking Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Is this a desperate attempt to make him happy, or is this something that they know that he wants and they're just sort of – it's like dotting the I's and crossing the T's on the inevitable return to Green Bay?
It could be a little bit of both. I think there's a little bit of desperation to it, but yeah. I mean, Schneidman put out there yesterday, somebody tweeted him and said, this is a desperate girlfriend move, but you have to give him credit for doing it. And Schneidman said, 100%. That's exactly what it is. It's just all the signs, based on some of the comments that he's had about his relationship with not only LaFleur, but the front office, with Gutekunst particularly. Like, he's mentioned him by name in terms of how much better that's gotten. Between that, all the moves the Packers have made, and them probably going to offer him a 4-year deal, like it just kind of feels like he's coming back. I thought that was the most likely scenario anyway, but it kind of feels like he's coming back to Green Bay. Just my guess. And then I saw Jeremy Fowler on ESPN this morning talking about how the relationship between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks is in a way better spot than it was this time last year. So I'm like, all right, well, we spent a lot of time talking about Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. And it looks like neither one of them are going anywhere, be my guess.
Yeah, and there's a lot of factors there. I've always believed this would happen. And it just, if you want to go to the Super Bowl, which is the point of continuing to play, you're just better off in the NFC right now. I understand that, like, by week 6 or 7 of next season, we could be like, oh, no, actually, this team and this team and this team are way better than we thought. And the AFC, you know, I mean, the year before doesn't necessarily apply to the next year. There are going to be some surprises. But the AFC is just so stacked at that position. So I just, like, you could go to the Titans or the Colts or the Broncos, and I think you're just going to have a tougher time getting there. Green Bay, are you, you know, the Rams, you know, they're going to run it back. They're going to have a really good team next year. But do you feel like there's just, oh, can't get around the Rams?
I wouldn't feel that way. The last three times they played them.
I wouldn't feel that way. Brady's out, I think.
What do you think?
And, you know, Brady lost to the Rams. I mean, it's that conference right now to me is way more wide open. It just makes sense.
Deshaun Watson apparently has put it out there that, according to some reports yesterday, the Bucs and the Vikings on his short list of teams that maybe now he'd be interested to be traded to. The Bucs and the Vikings. At some point, this lawsuit settlement stuff that he's under investigation for, I would assume they're going to address. But the Bucs and the Vikings now the top two apparently for Deshaun Watson. What do you think of that?
Well, Cousins is,
the Bucs make sense.
I mean, well, you know, Kirk Cousins last year, but he was like, oh, Kellen Mond, watch out, Kirk. And, you know, didn't exactly work out. Now, maybe down the road that could change, but no real threat. But if you're Kirk, you know, I'm sure that perks your ears up. What if the Bucs go from Brady to Watson? That'd be a pretty good grab a guy, you know, for various reasons and just keep yourself as a contender all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Watson, depending on what happens with all of his off-field stuff, he could be your quarterback for the next 10 years
right
down there in Tampa Bay. So, I don't know. Like, if Tom Brady comes out of retirement and the Bucs have Deshaun Watson, they're probably just telling Brady at that point to pound sand, right? Nah, see ya.
QB coach?
Maybe so.
Let's think about the Watson. You know, with Watson, certainly, obviously the situation right now and the possibility of him missing a year, I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
But he is young enough that I keep waiting for something to happen because the team's like, I don't care. I know I'm going to have him for another several after that.
It's just, I think it affects the price, though, right?
Like, well, for sure.
But if you're the Texans, like, don't you want to wait and get max value out of him?
You do, but I'm just saying maybe someone gives them something. They're like, okay, this is – and then it's just headache gone. Move on. And you got – yeah, maybe.
But Texans, look, Texans –
I mean, who knows what that organization –
they might end up trading him like for a, you know, six-pack of Diet Coke or something. Right. I don't know.
I mean, who knows what they might do. It's just
– great leadership over there.
Yeah, it's just trade with the Jags back and forth.
That's right. When we come back, we'll be joined by Terry Crisp. We'll take a look at the Preds in action tonight against Carolina. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode and Michelle Knezovic. Intern Nick here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the legendary Terry Crisp, brought to you by Copper Branch. Eat, think, change. Crispy, what's going on, my man? How we doing?
Good morning, gentlemen and Michelle. Everything is good, by the way. We got through that storm, that rain weather yesterday, and up this morning and talking to Shell. You guys had some coffee. I've got some coffee and we're roaring to go.
We are roaring to go. Crispy, the Preds in action tonight against Carolina. We'll get to that game here in just a few minutes, but they have lost three in a row. We've talked about the parade to the penalty box against Dallas and against Winnipeg last week. Just overall, as you watch them play right now, where do you think they are? Are you concerned at this point? What's your breakdown of what you've seen out of them coming out of the All-Star break?
Not so much concerned. I just they're in fits and starts. Like they'll have one area going and the other one's not clicking. Then they'll correct that and another one slides off to the side on us. I think that the two biggest things we have to get is back to our consistency. We're up and down like a toilet seat, and that's not conducive to winning hockey game. We got to get back to playing a full 60 minutes of our game, the way we play as a unit, everybody into it, all four lines, six defensemen. And the other night, the loss was bad. I hated losing the points. But I thought the effort was there for most parts. We hit four posts out there. We had some good chances. And I'm going to go back to that old adage we were singing the blues a while ago. We have to bury our chances now. We got to start to score. I mean, Forsberg and Duchesne can't carry this team. They're playing. They're doing their best right now. But the depth chart's got to start to kick in for us.
Let's see. Is that a Sault Ste. Marie?
There, he's back. We fixed Rex Rhodes' microphone there.
Up and down like a toilet seat. Is that a Sault Ste. Marie? I've never heard that one. That's good.
Well, if you've ever been to Sault Ste. Marie in the wintertime, the toilet seat is cold.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, my buddies up there will be yelling at me. I can just hear them.
Well, Crispy, on that point of depth scoring, I mean, I think we definitely would agree with you. You know, as things move forward, you can't put everything on that line, on those two guys in particular. Who among the others are you looking at and saying, okay, I feel like this guy could be on the verge of, you know, providing more production?
Yeah, we need, like, Joey's got to start to find the net for us. He's doing a lot, but he's got to start to put the puck in the net. Cunnins, Cousins, Tolvanen, Janot's got to get back on track, going to the net, the same as Trent in that line. That they work hard, they hit, but that's all well and good. But the chances we're getting now, and they're going to be limited coming down because, as we all know, when you get closer to the end and you're running out of games, the other teams start to bear down on you, and we've got to start to put the chances, like the last few games. We could have won them, except that we didn't bury the chances we had. And the other night, Samsonov, their goaltender, we're going to find that more and more, that a lot of the teams now, their goaltenders are going to be matching Saros. And Saros has been playing unbelievably excellent hockey for us, as we all know. I mean, he's been the mainstay, the anchor on this hockey club for a while. But we're going to find other teams that their goaltenders are stepping up to the breach now and doing that. And if that's the case, and we're only going to get so many scoring chances in the game, we have to start to bury them. We can't say almost, four posts, whatever. Not good enough now.
Crispy, we were talking to Hal yesterday, and he talked about the play in the defensive zone, maybe the defensemen getting a little loopy as of late with the way that they've played the game, and maybe just not enough attention to detail in the D zone. Do you agree with that? What are you seeing right now from the Predators in terms of their defensive zone play?
I've been crying that for a while now. I've been beating the drums on that one for a while. Defensively, not only the defensemen, but I always say defensive hockey is six men. Your goalie, your two defensemen, and five guys. You all got to come back into your zone with a purpose. And I like the phrase that you said that Hal used, loopy. And that's what's happening. We're going for loops now instead of just taking the man out on the boards, clean, freezing him so he can't get away from you, and picking up a man. I mean, they all laugh at me for my expression, head on a swivel. But it's so true on our end. I mean, we've had so many breakdowns with guys going loopy, not looking around to see who's up. When you come on the ice and you're playing, you got to know in your mind, you've played long enough, there's only their goalie and five jerseys out there. Five of their jerseys. Now, is it that hard to do the math when you're in your zone? If you see three of their jerseys or two in the corner, there's two jerseys somewhere else out there. They should be covered. We shouldn't have to go looking for them at the last second. We should have a man, their defenseman. And if you watch all the games now, most of the danger is coming every team from their defense corps, back at the blue line, that are setting up the plays, getting the shots through, making it happen. Why don't we eliminate them? Why don't we send our two guys out there halfway or three-quarters of the way out so they can't sneak down the back door? They don't get that free shot away. They don't get to make that heads-up, long, delayed play with the time they have. I just think in our defensive zone, Hal's right. We have to tighten up. We've got to get smarter. And I don't care what you say. In this hockey game, the two most dangerous places on the ice are in front of your net, offensively and defensively. You score down at the other end in the slot area. And our slot area in our defensive zone has got to get cleared up. Too many guys standing around alone. Too many guys sneaking down the back door. I totally agree with Hal Gill. That's the one main area heading down the stretch into the playoffs that we have to correct.
So, Crispy, a little bit of a losing streak here. You got a couple really excellent teams on the road. You've got Pecorine's retirement, you know, ceremony coming up. You've got the stadium series. I mean, it's a lot of stuff going on right now. So as a coach, with all of that in mind, what is the approach right now today to try to keep everyone, you know, process oriented?
Embrace it. Don't fight it. Don't go against it. Heck, it's fun. That's what's up. You know what? I always say, if you don't have fun in your job, you know, well, hockey is a job. And yeah, you're paid good money to perform in front of people and to win and whatnot, but still have some fun with it. You're only going this way once. There's only one way ticket. There's no U-turns in life. And so I'm looking forward to everything. These games against Carolina, against Florida, against the best teams, with the Pecorine thing to me is just over the hill. I mean, I'm one of these guys that played and coached, and certain players you fall in love with. You're not supposed to. That's the coach's decree, number one, don't fall in love with your players. But how could you help not falling in love with Pecorine and what he's done and what we're going to have for him? Then the excitement of an outdoor game. Like, I never got to play in one. I mean, I coached a couple of them and had fun. But the hoopla, embrace it. But in the meantime, doesn't mean you can't have fun, embrace things, and still go out on the ice and do your job and still bring a passion for 60 minutes because you're making good money, you're entertaining fans. Is that asking too much? Put your jersey on, and it's a 60-minute game, and unless you're Yossi or Forsberg, one of them, you're only playing 16, 18 minutes. That's not too hard to embrace.
Crispy, what do you think of this matchup tonight against Carolina? Obviously a team that over the course of the last year we've become very familiar with here in Nashville.
I love it. I still go back to that playoff series. I love that playoff series. And I'm one of the ones who said we had a chance to knock them off. We could have put them out. The fifth and sixth games that we had the game until the third period in each game. So against this team is like the old days with the Detroit Red Wings or the Chicago Blackhawks, when the Red Wings were our big brother and we were learning how to win and how to knock them off. Right now, Carolina is one of those teams for us. They're one of the best in the league. We run toe-to-toe with them. Now all we have to do is learn how to finish it off.
Terry Crisp joins us every Friday morning at 8:30 here on Robbie and Rex Row. Crispy, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us and looking forward to the game coming up tonight.
Looking forward to everything, the Rene, the outdoor game and all of them. Yep, stay with us, hang in there. We'll get it done. Have a safe weekend, everybody.
That's right, you as well, Crispy. Terry Crisp brought to you by Copper Branch. Eat, think, change. Up and down like a toilet seat. I love that man so much. Awesome.
I'm taking that one. I'm stealing that one.
When we come back, it is time for Preds Pick to Click. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Your opportunity to guess the goal scorer tonight for the Predators. If you get it right, you win some tickets to a future Predators home game. Preds Pick to Click brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. And it is that time of the week. Time for a Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Predators in action tonight, taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. An old foe from last year. Former divisional foe in the Carolina Hurricanes, at least for 1 year. Big game tonight for the Preds. Puck drop at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The standings in Preds Pick to Click are as such. The listeners and Joe Rexroad still deadlocked at 12 correct answers apiece. Robbie Stanley with 10. Michelle Knezovic with 6. Nobody on the board the other night against Washington because nobody selected Michael McCarron to be the goal scorer the other night. With that in mind, Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Billy, who is today's participant in Preds Pick to Click. Billy, thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks, guys, and good morning to you.
Good morning to you as well. So, Billy, the Preds taking on the Hurricanes tonight. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Man, I'm just filling Philip Forsberg. He's going to rock one in, maybe even two.
I like it. Billy, thanks for taking time to call in.
All right, thanks for your time.
Absolutely. So Billy going with Philip Forsberg, which, by the way, it's been a little bit less automatic as of late. He has not scored since the All-Star break. So it's now three games with no goal for Philip Forsberg. It's really, in the grand scheme of things, is not that big a deal, but it feels like a big deal with Philip Forsberg the way he's been scoring this year. But Billy going with Forsberg anyway. He is off the board. Michelle Knezovic, you're up first today in the competition. Forsberg off the board.
Okay, so my mind is telling me to go with Matt Duchene, but mm-hmm. when you were just talking to Crispy, he said that it's really time for Ryan Johansson to get another look.
Don't do it.
Yeah, but
you do whatever you want to do. Don't listen to him.
Who goes after me?
I do.
I'm going to pick Matt Duchesne.
Hey, that's fine. Give me Ryan Johansson.
And now he'll probably score.
Got to take Ryan Johansson to find the back of the net tonight.
You've got to do it right there.
Forsberg, Duchesne, Johansson off the board. Joe Rexrode, this is where we get the Joe talking himself through the whole roster pick. I'm looking forward to it.
I think you should go with UC Saros. Yeah. I think that'd be a good one, Joe.
He's going to get one of these days.
Yeah.
Well, remember last time I didn't talk myself through it. I know. Just went to Matt Duchesne. Didn't work out either. I'll go ahead, and I think it's about time for a power play snipe from Roman Josi.
There you go.
So
Roman Josi, the selection. The captain gets it done tonight.
The team leader in points.
I like
Roman
it.
Roman Josi.
So Forsberg selected by Billy. Michelle going with Matt Duchesne. Myself going with Ryan Johansson. Joe going with the captain, Roman Josi.
It's a pretty chalky Preds pick to click.
It is. This
Johansson
is
would be, you know, we'll see.
I thought about Janot. I did pick him in Call Your Shot Friday to have a game-winning goal for
you
the Predators tonight.
Yeah,
but I didn't go with
consistent.
Him. Yeah. I mean, there are other people allowed to score in the game. Janot might get one eventually. It's a big game, I feel like, though. I mean, this is obviously, you know, you can take the, well, it's a team that knocked you out of the playoffs last year. You're very familiar with them. I think it's a big game just with that by itself. You know, this is one of the best teams in the East, and you've lost three in a row. This is a, I don't know if get right game is the right phrase for it, but this is a big one tonight for the Predators. They need to bring their best foot forward tonight, and if they do, they're going to give themselves a chance. I think part of what giving yourself a chance in this team looks like is you have to play the way that makes you successful, and Hal was talking about that yesterday. Like, I feel like a game like this, if there's the slightest bit of, you know, getting away from your identity or whatever term you want to use, this feels like the game where if you're a player, you better correct that. Because if you don't, there's a chance you could get blown out of the building tonight.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, listening to Hal and Crispy. And coming off, you know, John Hines in the last game, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, for the most part, he was, and I know sometimes coaches, you know, sometimes use the press conferences to send a message or, okay, I don't want to get too down on this team, or maybe I want to get after this team or whatever, but it's not like John Hines was pretty happy with like the general way they played. Now that's still you can be able with that. You can make a couple killer mistakes in a game, and that can be it.
Which right now they are.
And that's the thing. It's like so, but is I guess like Hal's description is more like there's sort of like a mindset that's applied to that where it's like you're just thinking a little bit too offensively, not enough defensively, whereas. There's a difference between that and just here and there. Like you screwed up again. That can still cost you.
Right.
I mean, either way, if you make the mistake and the puck ends up in the back of the net, you pay for it. But it sounds like a little bit different analysis of it.
Well, I agree, and it's one of those things. Like from Hal's point, if you're the Predators, and look, up until the break, things were going well offensively. Now, I think there was reason to be confident. You know, last two games, you scored two against Winnipeg. You scored one the other night against Washington. It's time to get back to what makes you successful. And, look, I think 5-on-5, they're still doing a lot of good things, right? I mean, they did hit three or four posts the other night in the game. And, you know, that's not the biggest thing in the world to me. I know some people view that differently than I do. But they did hit three or four posts the other night. I don't think it's time to just totally panic or anything and change, you know, the way you feel about the team or that stuff going into this game. I just feel like with this month being what it is, particularly with next week being what it is from a scheduling standpoint, this is a big one. If you could find a way to get 2 points in this one, I think that would set you up pretty well heading into next week.
Yeah. I mean, if you're 0-for in these two games, which is, I mean, you're going to have to play really well to not be.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you think about all of a sudden with what next week is, which already next week is going to be a wild week, okay, in Preds world. But if you then throw in, oh, my gosh, this team's on a 5-game losing streak, and are they even going to make the playoffs now? And Forsberg, oh, my gosh, trading deadline. Like, it's just it would make for a really chaotic week to me. And just a tougher week on them because you have the distraction. It's just, whether you like it or not, these are distractions.
Yeah.
And then you are in an absolutely desperate spot to win a game. I suppose that could make for one heck of a performance on Pecorine night, but you really would rather not be in that position. You need to get something out of this trip.
Well, no, and look, there have been moments this year where they've played big-time teams and they've risen to the challenge, right? I mean, think about that Colorado game. I mean, you know, I get it. Both teams were not at full strength in that game, but that's an example of you kind of rising to the occasion. This feels like, look, it's not like Carolina is any secret. They know what Carolina brings to the table. Carolina knows exactly what they bring to the table. I mean, they've played each other 1,000 times in the last year. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a pretty straightforward game from that standpoint. If you're the Predators, it just comes down to execution. Like, I think if you play your system, you're going to be in the game with Carolina. Can you execute on some of those high-level plays? And can you keep guys like Svechnikov and, you know, Vincent Trocheck and Aho from just taking over like they're capable of doing at times? I thought Carolina didn't play that well the other night against Florida, so they're going to be ready to go tonight. You better be ready for it.
You surprised how good they are? You know, they had some losses. I mean, there was some question, like, okay, was last year a little bit of a, like, you know, are they going the other way? They've been really good.
Well, I'm surprised that Freddie Anderson has been good in goal as he's been, because, hey, look, he's a good goalie. But Freddie Anderson is not, you know, an elite goaltender that you think of immediately. Now, look, their goaltending last year, you don't think any of those guys is elite either. But Freddie Anderson, he's got a 207 goals against and a 928 save percentage. It's pretty darn good.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's obviously, I think at this point, we've seen enough body of work with this group to know that, number one, Carolina has the puck a lot, and number two, they've got an outstanding defense core. Like, their defense core is really, really good, and they've added Tony DeAngelo to it as well, which, you know, he brings a lot of controversy away from the ice with some of the stuff that he does. He's a pretty darn good player. He's got 9 goals as a defenseman already. So a really good defense core got better this offseason. Even though you lost Dougie Hamilton, they're still really good on that side. So I'm surprised that Anderson's been as good as he's been, but when you take a look at their roster and break down the way they play defensively, it's not that big of a surprise. I mean, the bottom line is Rod Brind'Amour, pretty good coach.
No doubt. So what you're saying is this is a Stanley Cup final preview tonight.
Could be. Didn't have a chance to be last year.
Couldn't have been last year.
Exactly.
Couldn't have been.
Could be tonight.
I mean, it's, you know, arguably the two top teams. I mean, they're two of the top, what, 4 or 5 teams in the East?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I know. I mean, just even not just performance or record. I'm saying, like, in terms of quality of team, two of the top 4.
You're talking about Carolina and Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Florida, to me right now, Florida's the best team in the league. Like, they're really, really good. Now, well,
there's something else.
Colorado's the best team in the league. Florida's the best team in the East. They're really, really good. It is amazing to me. And maybe it's just because people have fatigue from them. But Tampa's just sitting there, and no one's talking about Tampa.
Right.
Just like, oh, yeah, it's Tampa. Whatever.
Yeah.
They might end up winning, you know, the cup for the third year in a row.
Would not be a huge surprise.
It would not be. This has been Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll get back into the Titans stadium talk. What do you think about the idea of the Titans building a new stadium down on the riverfront? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.